I love this time of year. It is back to church time. We are going to have our fall kickoff coming up September 9th. Be sure that you invite your friends for that day. It'll be following 11 o'clock worship. Let's take a look at the scripture from the book of Titus. Read Titus much? Awesome. That's why we're doing it. All right. So we'll talk a little bit more about Titus in a moment, but let's read this with some chutzpah. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. Paul had some run-on sentences. Have you noticed this? Absolutely. I want to encourage you to use your Revolution app as you follow along this teaching series. There will be some notes for you to fill out and some things that will help you along the way. As we get this started, I was reminded of a story that happened around the year 461 BC. How many know that's a long time ago? 461 BC was the beginning of the rise of the Roman Empire. It was still called the Roman Republic at the time. And there was a great battle that was happening during this period between the commoners and the nobility, I guess we could say. Two groups of people, if you ever read about them, the plebeians would be the poor or the commoners, and the patricians would be the rich and the nobility. And the issue was that the poor and commoners were calling for measures of law so they would have rights, and so the powers of those who were in power would be in check to some degree. Now, the nobility, the wealthy, they were not happy about this. Because who wants to lose power? I mean, that's never a good thing. And some of them became opposed to it. In fact, violently opposed, so much so that the son of one of the patricians, one of the nobility or wealthy ruling class, decided to start an uprising. And in the midst of the uprising, he killed one of the commoners. Well, in the Roman Republic, you do something like that, you're going to face a court of law. And so this young man fled to a foreign country, never to be seen again. The courts still had the trial in his absence. And when the courts had the trial, they came up with this finding. They decided that the young man, were he to ever return, he should be executed. And because justice needed to be done, the father of this son would forfeit the right to his estate, his wealth, his status. He was also a great military leader. He would forfeit that as well. So in one fell swoop for something that his son did, he lost everything. And instead of being one of the patricians, a member of the ruling class, he was reduced to become a farmer, a poor commoner for the rest of his life. And then in the year 461, the Roman government came to his door while he's plowing and said, "A foreign invader has come. We want you to lead the army again." Ironic? Maybe. Divine? Perhaps. The question we might ask ourselves is, what would you do? I imagine there'd be a variety of different responses ranging from pound sand, I'm not going to help you, I don't care if they invade us and we all die, to, of course I'll help. Maybe it'd be something in between. Maybe a lot of us would try to strike a deal. I'll tell you what, I'll help you if you reward me with all of my wealth and estate. What would you do? They take your land, your money, everything that you have. You're reduced from having status and prestige to having nothing, and now they want your help. It's a question, ultimately, of character. Yes? What will you do? Some people say that character happens, or character is what's decided when no one's watching. Maybe. I think character happens when everybody is watching, because everybody's always watching. This series is ultimately about that. It's about character and giving God the space to build character in our lives. We're going to be working through this book called Titus. Some of you may have read it. For others of you, this is completely new. Titus is a letter. It's a short letter. It's 3 chapters long. And it's between Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, which is the back third of our Bible, and one of his students, pupils, sons in the faith, named Titus. Now, he calls Titus my true child in the common faith. This word true is a word that we would probably better understand as being genuine, authentic, legitimate. In fact, if you were to call someone a true child in the ancient world, it was like a way of saying, this is a legitimate child of mine. This child I claim as my own. They have my stuff. They have my DNA. And for us, we're called true children of God when we, by faith, trust in Jesus Christ, that he died and rose again, and that we need him for our salvation, for healing, for eternal life. And we're really called to have his character. See, the goal is for us to have Christ's character and for Christ's character to be imparted to each one of us. And let's be honest with ourselves for just a moment. This issue of character is tough in our culture, because so little of our culture is actually true or authentic or genuine. So often it's about putting on a face or a mask and pretending to be somebody that we're not, or pretending to be someone that we want to be, and not being okay with who God has created us to be and what mission God has placed us on. And the irony of the whole thing is, as fake as our culture can be, at the same time, it has no problem in pointing out the lack of authenticity amidst its people. So as soon as it sees an example of hypocrisy or characterlessness, it will be very quick to point out, that's all that's wrong with this world. And that was Titus's problem, just as much as it's our problem today. Titus has had legalists undercutting his authority, challenging his teaching, and asking others to believe things about Jesus that weren't true. And the legalists that challenge Titus are much like the legalists that challenge our own ideas today. You see, in any idea, there are 3 things, said Aristotle: pathos, logos, and ethos. Pathos is the heart. Whenever you hear a speech or a sermon or hear an idea, it's the examples that people give that bind your heart to it, that move you in a certain way, that make you want to be connected to that idea and believe it. The logos is the actual idea itself and whether it's well-reasoned or has merit. And the ethos is the street cred, if you will, of the speaker. Now, what's interesting is you can watch this whole system take place anytime it's a political election season. The immediate move that most people make is to discredit the ethos of the speaker. It doesn't matter whether or not the logos or the idea actually has merit. If the speaker can be discredited, therefore the ideas are discredited. And the irony also is, in our culture today, the pathos tends to win more people over than the logos does. So if it makes me feel good, it's got to be good. And yet we never go and explore the true merit or worth or authenticity of the idea. For Titus, he had to have legit, authentic, genuine, true character. If he didn't walk it, talk it, live it, breathe it, why would anybody else? And for us Christians today, brothers and sisters, it's the same. If you're not legit, if you don't walk it, talk it, and live it, why would anyone else? And so as we really begin to unpack our teaching series, I want us to ask ourselves a question this morning. What character defect or flaw in your life might be discrediting your witness for Jesus Christ? Where do you lack authenticity? What's the part or portion or shred in your life that isn't legit? Let's take a moment, we'll reflect on that. Come up with at least one. It's good, right? Goal today isn't to make you feel bad, it's to call the light. Hey, we're a work in progress, right? You know, I don't know anybody here who isn't. I mean, unless you're Jesus in disguise, I guess. I mean, I'd love to shake your hand. But before you go making plans to change any kind of character defect, what I want you to realize is that our character has to come from somewhere deeper. It's a shift that we need to experience in our hearts and our minds and our lives. And Titus experienced a radical shift in character. He was Greek, which to us we're like, okay. But that's a pretty big deal. He was Greek, so he grew up in a worldview, in a system where everything had a god. So there was a god of a sea, god of war, god of the harvest, a god of love. I mean, all of these different gods and goddesses basically ran his life. And then one day he hears the gospel. He hears that there's one God, and this God created the heavens and the earth. And when this God saw that creation was a broken place and people were fallen sinners, this God became like one of them. And this God died on a cross for the sins of all people. And this God rose again to new life so that by faith they could be not only forgiven of sins, but realize their purpose and enter into eternal life. Titus, his life was radically changed. And he experienced a revolution in his heart, in his mind, in his life. And his life became something more. He was willing to sweat and bleed and die for the things that Jesus sweat and bled and died for. And it cost him something. Guaranteed it cost him some friends. Maybe it cost him a few family members. We don't know. To be a Christian in the ancient world was to be placed in a lower tier kind of status. So Titus, this was a cost to him. He maybe was much like the example at our beginning teaching, the beginning of our teaching today, where he was a nobleman of sorts that became more of a commoner. And the Bible chronicles or details a bit of his journey towards legit character. First, he goes on a mission with Paul to Jerusalem. Later, Paul sends him to Corinth as a messenger. He's growing in stature and in status. His character is being shaped. Later in Galatia, his character is exemplified. They point to him and they say, hey, this Titus guy, he's got it figured out. You know, he's following Christ. His heart's in the right place. And finally, he becomes a leader in the Cretan church. So there's a process. I want you to realize this. When it comes to our character takes time, yes? You know, some people, I think, they think, and some churches, they promote the idea that when you become a Christian, that's it. No, that's the beginning. John Wesley, the father of Methodism, said that conversion was essentially the door to religion, not the end point. And so Titus's character is being shaped over time. He follows Jesus, and over time, God continues to shape his heart. And brothers and sisters, we're the same. We're hardwired for character. And our own journey is much like Titus's journey of seeking character. And think about it for a minute. Why do these heartwarming stories about soldiers who leave their families behind to go off to war touch our hearts the way they do? Or why is it when we watch in the midst of the sea of bad news out there, we hear a story of somebody who is generous with one of their neighbors that they don't even know, and we say, I want to be more like that. Or maybe there's a teacher or leader or mentor that's influenced us in such a powerful way. We say, something about what they have and what they've done in my life, I want to do that for other people. Character. See, God hardwires it into our DNA, and we want that great kind of character. It's the reason why we get so angry when we watch world leaders act in such a disingenuous sort of way. Because we want character. God's put it in our hearts and our minds to want great character. And when we come to faith in Christ, when we follow him, we love God, we're able to love others, and we experience a transformed kind of character. And brothers and sisters, we're supposed to gain the character of Christ, not just have a membership card that gets us into heaven. Somewhere along the way, we've lost that. Christianity is not an end-of-life decision. It's a for-life decision. And as our character is being transformed and shaped, we're being readied for the world to come. Is that a little bit hard in the world we live in? You better believe it is. Does that mean that you can't make the same choices that other people do? You're absolutely right. Are they going to chide you for it? You better believe it. When you mess up, will they call you a hypocrite? You bet. Welcome to church. It's the hypocrite convention. We can all be okay here. Look at what Paul says to us again. He says, Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness and hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God, our Savior. It's all about character. God's character. Our character. And it's not the kind of character that we produce on our own. It's the kind of character we receive by being in relationship with Jesus. As we're in relationship with Jesus, this whole read your Bible and pray thing, the purpose is for God to transform you in those moments so you can take on his character. It's not like you can wake up in the morning and go, I'm going to just be good today. You will for a while, and then you'll drive to work. Right? I mean, we need those transforming moments with Christ, and that's why we need relationship with Christ, so that throughout the day when our coworker comes to us and says something, that the immediate response that wants to rise up for us is something like that. We go, wait a minute. What about the character of Christ? What about loving them? Because I love God. Paul was a servant. Look at these words again here. Paul was a servant and an apostle, not because of something that he did, but because of something that Christ did in him. Before he met Christ, who was he? He was a persecutor. He was a murderer. He was the hitman for the Pharisees. And he meets Jesus on the road to Damascus and experiences a revolutionary transformation of his character. And then the realization that his character and the transformation he experienced, it's not just for him, it's for other people. It's for the sake of others. See, God wants to do something in you, not just for you, but for others. God wants to transform your character, not just for yourself, but for others. Maybe we could say it like this: legit character isn't so you can point to yourself and say, wow, I'm great. It's for the moments that others point to you so you can say, wow, God is great. And this is what God did in Titus's life. God sent Titus because his character had been transformed. We might say that he had the character of a too legit to quit leader. We're getting old, Big D. Yeah. And Crete was not the place you wanted to go. I mean, I can imagine when they're handing out pastoral appointments. The way you used to do it in the old church was, all the preachers, they'd get together and they'd read the appointment list. Here's where you're going. And all my mentors who are older than I am used to say that there would be shrieks and gasps from the balcony and this kind of thing. So I imagine when they called Titus's name.
Titus, Crete. Everybody went,
because it was not a great place. You know, it's this beautiful island, but man, Crete, it was known for being a place of liars, evil brutes. They were lazy, traitors, and mercenaries. Awesome. So who's in? You ready to go? I mean, the mercs thing, I'm down. And this is where Titus is going to go. In fact, look at what Paul says later in Titus. We didn't read this part today. He says, one of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. Their testimony is true. That's funny. I don't care who you are. I mean, can you see Paul? Their testimony is true. Absolutely. What is he saying? They're not people of legit character. They're not people of legit character. And Titus, that's why you're being sent, because you are a man of legit character. And so Titus's purpose flows from the transformation that had happened in him. He'd been changed, and now he was called to go and change others. You know, I was in a seminary class that I was teaching one time. Had a group of pastors from Nigeria in it. And if you've ever met a pastor from Nigeria, there is no doubt about who they follow and who they're on fire for. I mean, it just kind of oozes out of them. And so we're talking one day and you know, about the problems in the American church, and, you know, the Nigerians just laugh. They're like, oh, you know, we got tough people. And one of the pastors gets up, and they always preach. They don't ever speak in class. They just go straight to preaching, and I just let them go because it's always good stuff. And so they go, we've got to preach the gospel. In my culture, people come and they burn down our churches and they kill our brothers and sisters. And he goes on and on for like 5 minutes about all of the horrific stuff that they've been through. And the American pastors are like, why do you keep going? And he goes, because we've got to preach the gospel. It's the hope of the world. It's the only hope we have. I mean, the guy just keeps going on and on and on, right? Like, it's starting to cut into class time, but this is really good stuff. And so the American pastors, they start to clap for him. I'll never forget what this guy does. He goes, no! That's how they always do it. It's always, no! Stop. I am not great. God is great. Christianity isn't an end-of-life decision. It is a for-life decision. It's about becoming who you were created to be, about having the character of Christ. Like we like to say it here at Revolution, God loves us the way that we are, but too much to love us, to leave us, rather, the way that we were. And you might not live in Nigeria. I know I don't. I doubt I ever will. But our culture today can be just as barbaric and swindling and filled with mercenaries in its own way. And our character matters because the people we're called to reach are far more Cretan than they are Christian. Maybe you're saying, well, Brian, that's really judgmental. Yep, maybe. Aren't we all sinners? Absolutely. And that's the issue. Our character requires transformation from being willful sinners to spirit-filled saints. Are you going to sin? Yep. But there's a difference between a saint who sins and a sinner who shows up on Sunday and claims to be a saint. Here's what I want to know. What if we stop willfully sinning, yielded to the work of the Holy Spirit to shape our character and pointed the world to see that Jesus is great each day? You know, you reflected on a character flaw earlier. Don't call it out, but what is it? I wonder in our church if lots of people have a membership card, but they're missing the character of Christ. How about you? Is it time to let a sin go? Are you living for the things that are worth Christ dying for? Can God do some character shaping in your life so you can be the mom or dad that God has called you to be? So you can be the man or woman that God has called you to be? Will you allow him to work in your heart and in your mind? So you'll love the things that he loves and live for the things that he lives for? Do you follow Jesus? Or do you just come to church? Because brothers and sisters, those are two very, very different things. We're really glad that you're here. But the purpose in being here isn't to just hang out or get to know people. The purpose is to help you follow Christ. And if you're not, you're missing the point. We really do need to be saved from our sins. Not just for eternal life, but for life here and now. And so if it's time for you to give your life to him today, do it. And if you need to be renewed in your commitment to him, then do it. And if there's something that you need to lay down, then do it. Let's pray. Jesus, the reality is all of us, including this guy having a prayer right now, we're sinners in need of your grace. We're men and women in need of character transformation. And so, Jesus, we pray, we ask that you would grant us your grace. The sins that are keeping us from following you, God, we place them at the foot of the cross today. And we pray that you would forgive us. And Holy Spirit, we pray for the ways in which we've grieved you and not listened, chosen to follow our own way rather than yours. Forgive us. We thank you, Jesus, that you died and you rose again for each one of us, so we might become legitimate sons and daughters of God. And we know that by faith, when we make that prayer, we become your sons and daughters. We begin to experience that revolutionary transformation of character like Titus did, as we're readied for eternal life. Become ours today. And help us be yours. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.